A revolution is stirring in America, and it's at the city and metropolitan level. That's the premise of the recent book, The Metropolitan Revolution, co-authored by Bruce Katz. Bruce Katz is vice president at the Brookings Institute and co-director of the Brookings Metropolitan Policy Program. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
So you're writing here about a real change in the way that our governments work together. You write that traditionally the federal government is the parent and the cities are the little children, and this has kind of changed.
Well, it's fundamentally changed because we face big challenges post-recession in the United States. And the federal government, for all intents and purposes, has left the building like Elvis. And so what they've really done is tell cities and metros, which are the engines of the economy, you're on your own. You know, the cavalry's not coming. You've got big infrastructure issues. You've got education and skills issues. You've got competitiveness. You're going to have to figure this out yourself with your states.
And in the Metropolitan Revolution, you point out some cities that are rising to the challenge and doing that. Seattle is one of the cities. What's going on here that you think lives up to that expectation that there'll be a revolution at the city at the metropolitan level?
Well, I think, you know, in places like Seattle, it's not just the local government. It's really networks. Cities are networks. They're not like the federal government or even states, which are governments. It's really elected officials, corporate, civic, philanthropic, university leaders who come together and do the hard work to grow jobs and restructure their economies. I look at portions of what's happened in Seattle over the past, you know, decade, the rise of South Lake Union, which is sort of a almost like a near downtown revival, renewal, which is remarkable around Fred Hutch, around UW Medical Campus, obviously led by Vulcan Real Estate, the streetcar moving in so that you can really have more residential and more mixed-use development near the downtown that's smart economically, smart from a sustainable perspective. Obviously, Seattle is an export powerhouse. I mean, you know, Jane Jacobs wrote 50 years ago, the foundation of cities is trade. That's Seattle. You are a global metropolis. You orient to Asia. A lot of your goods and services are sold abroad. So Seattle has maintained its position. You know, you're the 15th largest metro in the United States. You're the 12th largest economy. You have an incredible export intensity. You've got a lot of good fundamentals here, incredible entrepreneurial and innovative spirit.
Well, part of what matters here is how we define success for a city or a metropolitan area. And you've outlined some measures of success, economic well-being. But what about how a city works on things like affordable housing for all its people, like livable wages for everybody who works in a city?
Well, I think at the end of the day, a successful city is a city that works for everyone. And the challenge we have in the United States right now, it goes to my first comment, is that post-recession, we have seen a quantum leap in the number of people who live in poverty and near poverty. And they're not earning enough to make ends meet. And housing in particular, particularly in a place like Seattle, which is a very successful, you see housing prices go up. In the past, we looked to the national government to basically subsidize affordable housing, provide incentives for affordable housing. I think more and more that's really going to be at the city and metro level. You've done some of that in the downtown with your incentive fees. Frankly, you're going to have to do more of it. And I think your new mayor-elect, Ed Murray, my sense is he understands you've got to work on job creation, you've got to work on skills, you've got to work on housing, and you have to work on increasing wages.
I'm talking to Bruce Katz. He's the co-author of the book, The Metropolitan Revolution. And the basic idea here is that the real generators of economic well-being and creativity are the cities in the metropolitan areas. Now, cities, of course, sometimes work under state restraints. Right here in Seattle, area leaders would like to get the authorization to increase taxes to prevent some cutbacks in bus service. They're having a hard time getting Olympia to go along with that. What should states be doing to help nourish the creativity and the energy of cities, and what should they not be doing?
Well, states really need to be acting in the service of their cities and metropolitan areas. So if you take a major metro like Seattle, 3.5 million people, you're about 51% of the population of this state. You're 62% of the GDP. So if you're sitting in Olympia, what you want is Seattle to be as successful and prosperous and inclusive as possible. Frankly, that means devolving more power, more decision-making power to not just the city of Seattle, but the counties that surround the city. So some states are doing that. I mean, you clearly see that in places like Colorado and Tennessee. Now, those are states where you have former mayors as governors. So they're working very closely with Denver or Nashville or Memphis. But this is something that I think states need to learn, almost like the federal government needs to learn. Get behind your economic engines.
Now, not all cities and metropolitan areas are doing a good job of this. So what differentiates the ones that are from the ones that aren't? I mean, Seattle has some natural advantages. Bill Gates happened to have started a company here. But what can cities do on their own to make this a success? And what are some examples of where it's gone the other way?
So you said it. First and foremost, it's the value of the economy, right? Second is, do you have a network of leaders that work together, that collaborate to compete? So we tell the story in the book about Denver, where cities and suburbs came together over many decades. They don't love each other, but they understand that they need to work together to make smart, locally driven investments in state-of-the-art transit. They've done it. The largest light rail system in the United States is being designed, financed, and delivered primarily by local resources in Denver. So that's really what has to happen at the local level, is the federal government goes on a frolic. States are a mixed bag. You've got to build that network. You've got to set your vision that builds on your distinctive advantages. And then you've got to design, deliver game changers.
Some metropolitan areas are very well integrated, and others have lots of different jurisdictions, counties and cities and all kinds of districts. Is one or the other model work better to accomplish these goals?
Many parts of the United States are highly fragmented. I mean, we inherited almost like a 13th century British model of government, right? I mean, just, you know, walk a mile, you're in a different jurisdiction. If you have that level of fragmentation, and you have some of it here, you need to have, at a minimum, these cities and municipalities, suburban municipalities, come together with their counties and understand on certain issues that cross borders, infrastructure, the environment, I actually would say housing and skills, you need to work together. Denver, obviously, as I said before, is a good model of that. Minneapolis, St. Paul, Portland to your south, obviously was working on this decades ago because they had a metropolitan government elected essentially to deal with many of the key land use and infrastructure issues. So it is what it is. We're probably not going to consolidate a lot of these governments, but on a voluntary basis, you can come together, a lot of examples around that in the United States, particularly around infrastructure, so you can get stuff done.
You know, we're in a situation in our metropolitan area where the Boeing company, because they were not able to extract a contract extension they wanted from the machinists, are shopping around. So they're kind of putting different metropolitan areas, different states, into competition. How does the ability of large corporations to basically pick up and move affect the ability of metropolitan areas to control their economic destiny?
Well, it means you've got to be very smart. Not just about providing the tax incentives, which the state did very quickly, but you've really got to sell yourself as a place where you've got a skilled workforce, you've got advanced research and development. UW, I mean, is one of the most advanced universities in the country. You've got an ecosystem. So for Boeing to leave Washington for another state is not a small decision, because very few states have what you have, frankly. And you can throw tax money at this, as other states will try to do, but they don't have the ecosystem you have here. And so I think you've got to sell and market yourself very well, but also provide the kind of skills training that a company like Boeing or many other companies need, so you have those skilled workers available. Frankly, the competition is not just within the United States. The competition is with Mexico, and the competition is with many other countries.
Bruce Katz is my guest. We're talking about the metropolitan revolution. And as you describe it, this is a situation which has arisen. And I wondered if the situation could change. Let's talk first about states and states' roles as being the leaders in this, and then the federal government. First of all, could states take on that role that municipalities and metropolitan areas have now, as you see it?
Well, I mean, you know, states at the end of the day do make many of the decisions that affect their cities and municipalities. I mean, the powers that a city has, the boundaries a city has, really are, you know, devolve from states. States also make a lot of platform setting decisions. What's your investment in your universities, your public universities? What are you making smart investments in infrastructure? Or are you just spreading money around your state like peanut butter on a slice of bread? So states need to understand that in this century, cities and metropolitan areas like Seattle really drive the state economy. And you've got to step back and say, how do we leverage that? How do we make smart investments? The federal government's a little different.
Yeah, you don't have much hope holding out. You don't hold out much hope for the federal government being a leader here. You said it's basically going to be an insurance company in a place that has an army.
Well, you know what is, we've known this was going to happen for quite some period of time because of the aging of our population. More than 52% of what the federal government spends within a decade will be on Medicaid, Medicare, and Social Security, right? And then we obviously have national responsibilities like the military and the research and development that gets behind healthcare or defense. So a large extent, what we say, yes, the federal government more and more is going to become a health insurance company with the military. And that means investments in infrastructure or research and development or education or skills or housing will be squeezed down. They already are being squeezed down. And that means that cities, metros, and states with private and civic university allies will have to compensate. This is happening. Perhaps, you know, there'll be some deus ex machina and the world will change and we'll – I don't think so. Right. I think what is essentially happening in the United States is a de facto devolution of responsibility to these major economic engines. Get on with it.
Yeah.
We're going to have to, you know, to the greatest extent possible, control our destiny.
And that's why Bruce Katz sees a metropolitan revolution well underway. He's the co-author of a new book by that name. He's also vice president of the Brookings Institute, where he co-directs the Brookings Metropolitan Policy Program. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Well, thanks for having me.
This is The Record on KUOW.